Good Thursday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Labor Department today says that prices for goods imported to the U.S. fell in July, dragged down by a drop in the price of petroleum. U.S. import prices declined 0.2% last month from June. Import prices were up 0.8% in July from a year earlier. Prices for imported petroleum and petroleum products fell 1.2% in July from the prior month. This morning, USDA reported export sales for the week ending August the 7th. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 12.4. Corn this year, -4.6. Next year, 31.0. Soybeans this year, 2.3. Next year, 39.7. Royal Dutch Shell says it has agreed to sell drilling rights in shale formations in Louisiana and Wyoming for $2.1 billion in two transactions. Shell also says today that it will also receive drilling rights to land in Ohio and Pennsylvania. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 16,668. It's up 16 points. The NASDAQ is trading 44.37. It's up almost 4. And the S&P 500 is 19.50, and it is up just over 3 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the U.S. Midwest is going to be seeing good weather as we go forward through the next 2 weeks. A good mix of rain and sunshine will occur in many areas, and we expect crops to respond well to the environment. Temperatures will still be a little bit on the milder than usual side here for another few days, but we should see warming take place as time moves along and get into a more normal range of temperatures. It's not going to be too much longer. The normal temperatures start cooling down a little bit, and once those normals cool off, what we've been seeing here in the last week or two is probably what we'll call near normal conditions from this point forward. A lot of upper 70 and 80 degree highs will be occurring across the region during this next 7 days. I would expect to see most areas in the Midwest benefit greatly in this environment. There will be a little bit of a warmer bias, perhaps in a few locations in the southwest corner of the region where some extreme highs may get up over 90 degrees. That may occur tomorrow and Saturday, and then we may also see it return again during the early to middle part of next week with a brief period of cooling in between. The rest of the Midwest will actually see warmer weather as we move to the early to middle part of next week, and we'll see a lot of 80s replacing these 70s that I've just mentioned. Our low temperatures at night across the Midwest are still expected to be quite favorable as well, with many areas expecting lows tomorrow morning still in the 50s with some upper 40s or even middle 40s occurring in a few locations in the cooler locations in Ohio, Indiana, and Michigan, maybe even a couple of spots in Wisconsin. Otherwise, 50s and lower 60s will occur tomorrow morning. We'll look for the temperatures to rebound further after that, with a lot of 60-degree readings expected during the course of the weekend, with something cooler in the north and a couple of lower 70s in the south. The rain chances are very good across the Midwest, and as we go forward through the next 7 days, we'll probably see a periodic occurrence of showers and thunderstorms for most of the region. And as a result of that, I think soil moisture will either be kept at status quo levels or actually be increased in some cases. Most of the weather across the region is not going to be generating so much rain that we have a dramatic change, though, in the moisture situation. And for the most part, everybody's going to see rain at one time or another. And again, the area that is of greatest interest continues to be in portions of northeastern Iowa, southern Minnesota, southwestern Wisconsin, and a few counties scattered across northwest and central Illinois and central Indiana. A lot of these areas are still carrying some favorable subsoil moisture, making the drier bias not all that serious, especially with temperatures holding back into a more seasonably mild range. The combination of sunshine with some periodic rain and these temperatures that I just mentioned will result in aggressive crop development, and the end result has to be a continuation of support for this good yielding crop. The U.S. Delta and the southeastern states will see a good mix of rain and thunderstorm activity as we go forward through the next full week as well. And we'll also expect to see similar conditions occurring in the U.S. Central Plains. In the Southern Plains, Texas in particular, net drying is likely to occur except in the west and far northwest, where the Panhandle and parts of West Texas cotton areas will get a little bit of rain. The northern U.S. Plains will be an increasing area of concern as we move forward through the second half of August. Looks like rain frequencies may be up in that region that may induce some concern for the spring wheat crop, which will be harvested at that point in time. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's see how futures are trading at the Chicago Board of Trade. Hard red winter September wheat is 605 and a quarter, up 1 1/4. December, 621 and a quarter, up 2. Soft September, 532 and 3/4, up 4 3/4. December, 549 and 3/4, up 4 1/4. September corn, 360, up 2. December, 372, up 2 1/4. March, 385, up 2. July, $4, up 1 3/4. August soybeans, 1265, up 1/2. September, 1087 and 3/4, up 8 1/4. November, 1049 and a quarter, up 2 1/2. August soybean meal, 439.70, up $21. September, 376.50, up 7.80. August soybean meal, 33.85, down 10. September, 33.44, down 54. August live cattle, 149, up 77.5. August feeders, 215.55, up 117.5. And August lean hogs, 114.85, and they are down 35. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Morning, Dave.
I think a comment needs to be made about that August soy meal contract.
Yeah, you know, we're about $50 premium August to the September, and that does expire today along with the August beans. So that's going to be a wild day, I think.
Do you think that September beans and or meal has it in it to I don't know if it'll clear all the way up to where August go off the board, but has some upward strength in it?
I think we're going to try to do that, particularly on the meal side of things, because I see this as a cash led deal in the meal more so than even in the beans, although the processing margin on beans is improved and there's some pretty wide premium basis is on the beans. Of course, we're going to premium November, not even the September.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about the grains then. Inside days for both corn and beans yesterday.
Yeah, it was kind of a lackluster day. We have to have those kind of days after we have wild action like we saw on Tuesday. What I think is noteworthy is if this December corn can get above 374 3/4, which was last week's high, and if we can close above last Friday's close at 363 1/2, and of course we're above that now, mm-hmm. We'd see a key reversal up for the week in the December corn. I think that would spark some new longs to come in this market and definitely spark some short covering.
All right, what about the beans then?
The bean market's really trying to bide some time, trying to see a little stability in here. November beans really need to get above 1060 to even look like they're going to try to go sideways for a bit, and we're fully a dime below that. The August beans last week on the rally completely filled the continuation chart gap where the July beans went off the mm-hmm. board. So really we've kind of done what we need to do on the upside for that bean market.
Can beans fall all that much with the exports still being outstanding on the new crop?
I think we're going to struggle to keep beans where they are now. Certainly as we go into seeing more and more of the Delta crop come to market. keep in mind, the Delta doesn't have any storage for corn. They'll move corn first and then beans.
Right, right. All right, let's go ahead and look at livestock side.
Livestock market yesterday, sounds kind of goofy, but the things that I saw that were encouraging on the livestock market was that cattle didn't close on the low, and it certainly took a hard hit when the feeder cattle fell apart. The hog market, I thought, was probably short covering rally yesterday, but we could try to hold together a little bit in here. I think the key is going to be whether the feeder cattle can hold. Fundamentally, there's lots of reasons for the livestock markets to work higher. Technically speaking, we did some damage last week.
Thank you, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Let's look at the current tick. September corn, 360 up 2. December, 372 up 2.25. Go out to July at $4.25 up 2. August soybeans, 12.70.5 up 6. November, 10.51.75 up 5. August soybean meal, 4.42.60 up 23.90. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.